Good evening. This is the Whitney Town Advisory Board April 13th, 2017 meeting. Everybody please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let the record show that everybody is in attendance today. Are there any county staff here?
Cindy Moody, Commissioner Cass office.
Jerry Tasco, Commissioner.
Thank you and welcome. Public comment. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You'll be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board about items within its jurisdiction but not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until comments by the general public period listed at the end of this agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium if applicable, clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of a presentation, this will be done by the chair or the board by majority vote. Is there anybody here for public comment? Seeing that there is none, moving on to the next agenda item. Approval of the minutes for March 16, 2017. And just to remind the board that we do not need a second for motions. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll make a motion.
All those in favor of approving the minutes say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. The minutes have passed. Moving on to the next agenda item, approval of this agenda for April 13, 2017. Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve.
There's a motion to approve the agenda for April 13, 2017. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. We have an agenda. On to the next agenda item, informational items. Announcements of upcoming neighborhood meetings and county or community meetings and events.
We have a cleanup with Commissioner Scow, which is being sponsored by Commissioner Scow, NV Energy, outside Las Vegas, and it's going to be Saturday, April 22nd, 9 to 12. The meet here to start with, probably for some light refreshments, and then math. To go out and clean up. So they're going to be dumpsters located here at the Whitney Community Center, and then there'll be another one at the corner of McGill and Steptoe. There'll also be a hazardous waste container that I think is going to be located here. As far as what you can put in there, I'm not really sure.
Great, thank you. Any other neighborhood cleaning? Virginia, wasn't there the flyer for Movies in the Park?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Movie in the Park is next Friday, April 28th. Is that next Friday or Friday?
Two weeks
from Friday. Movie in the Park will start, the movie will start at 8. I think they'll start serving the hamburgers and the hot dogs prior to that so that the eating is done before the movie starts. And I guess Mona.
Did you say
Moana,
8?
Did you
say 8? The movie starts at 8?
The movie starts at 8.
P.M.
Right.
Okay.
Gotcha.
I said that. Ignore me all of us.
Anything else anybody has? Planning and zoning, we have no zoning items to be heard this evening. General business, discuss and review an ordinance to update the parking requirements and parking lot design standards in the Unified Development Code and direct staff accordingly.
All right, Mr. Tasco, 500 South Transfer Parkway. Thank you very much for being tonight. So, as everyone remembers, we came before you last October. About 4 years. we decided to undergo a process to update the parking standards for Clark County. It hadn't really been revised or overhauled since about 2000 when they were originally adopted. So we started the process by surveying sites, probably about over 30 sites throughout Clark County, different types of uses, resorts, worship, industrial community centers, to get a baseline data set to see how much parking was actually used. And we compared that also with best practices nationally and regionally for Southwest cities, compared to other jurisdictions in the area, and then also had public stakeholder meetings to get the public's input. So that's what kind of all came together with the original recommendations that we brought to you back in October. And we took those recommendations to all the town boards, as well as stakeholders, industry groups, as well as the Planning Commission and ECC, and moved on to this final step where we're creating the ordinance. So that's hopefully what you should have received at your last meeting, the ordinance along with a little summary sheet. And so after we present to the town board this week, we're going to go to the Planning Commission next week, and the Board of Planning Commission will have something that'll get to them, whether they adopt it or new changes. Just kind of a brief overview. There's a lot of cleanup, so that's why everything's kind of long and tedious. We're really kind of moved a lot of things around, added things, deleted things that really weren't working anymore on the ordinance. Some of the parking requirements we reduced, like for industrial uses and resort hotels. Some of them we increased, and we created a tier system for shopping centers, based on the size and parking ratio changes, depending on how big you are. We introduced bicycle parking requirements, so for certain uses, I'll encourage bicycling. And then we created a whole series of incentives or credits, essentially, to reduce parking to met certain criteria. So if you're based in transit, it's more walkable, it's in a pedestrian-friendly area, they have kind of a reduction in parking automatically. And we also advanced the design standards, so we created walkways, so for bus stops, up to the front of the building, between buildings on the site, additional landscaping, broke down the size of the parking lots to try to prevent areas, maybe more pedestrian friendly, a lot more environmentally sustainable. And then certain smart growth criteria for things you want to increase parking. Right now, you can do a study if you want to increase parking or do some design standards if you want to increase automatically. Some of the highlights, obviously, there's a lot of things in there, so if you got a chance to review it, I'm happy to go through it with you and answer any questions you have, give you feedback, and we'll take back. After that, if it's not maintained, then it becomes a CC Pro issue. So
work with them on that?
Yeah, so how we handle that is the Southern Nevada Regional Planning Coalition, SRPC, has a manual for what trees are most appropriate for Las Vegas, and the type of tree, how big it'll get, how big the stand is, and also where it's most appropriate. So there's certain trees that do better, like in parking lots or in the shade of a building, how heat resistant they are. And so we do. So we require that all the plants, that's how it is now, have to be chosen from the Southern Nevada Regional Plan List. Hmm. And so what we're proposing is to increase the ratio slightly. So right now we have one tree per 8 parking spaces required. And if this gets approved, it'd be one tree per 6 parking spaces. So you have a little bit more landscaping. And then we have some requirements for certain numbers of bushes, relationships, and number of trees there as well. But yeah, that's our situation.
Interesting. Do you have specific requirements for those bike racks? Like, for example, I know having worked on and off at UNLV, one of the biggest complaints there is that even people lock up their bikes, for example, and it still gets stolen or taken apart. So are there specific requirements on kinds of bike racks, or is it just bike racks?
No, so you're exactly right. So yeah, you have the pictures there. So what we followed is there's some kind of best practices for types of bike racks.
Okay.
A lot of times, like at UNLV, and you'll see kind of, it's almost like a triangle. It's a quantity of bike rack with slots that you put it in. We don't want to have those. So that's why. We want to have something that's more aesthetically pleasing. It's either an inverted like staple or a U. And that's what is considered best practice, where you can lock up both the wheel of the bike and the frame. And you lock up one bike on each side. So each bike rack would handle 2 bikes. And then there's standards.
Why don't we have a copy of all that stuff? I emailed it to you.
The distance between bike racks.
Where'd you get that?
So that you have enough room to, you're not.
They've got parking areas and all that stuff.
I emailed it to you.
Yeah, there's a series.
The whole packet.
Never seen it.
It came with this.
We didn't require it.
I pulled this off my computer.
You didn't get your. Well, that's what I mean. It emailed. I emailed it with this.
Bike locker. So that's the most secure. That's protected from the weather. Because, you know, obviously, if you're going to commute on a bike, $1,000 more. And so a lot of people, you don't want to lock it up any kind of bike rack outside. But if you have one of the lockers, you can put it in, you swipe your credit card, whatever, you can key, go to work, or you want to come back, you know, it's secure and everything else has access to it.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
I was kind of curious.
How it's going to be used. Did you have one more?
Yeah, as many questions as you want.
Take notice to one of my rights going into a parking lot. As I'm turning into a parking spot, lo and behold, there's a motorcycle park there.
Yeah.
Is there any thought about making area for motorcycles and things like that? Has that been discussed in any way? Because, you know, if they're parked between two fairly large vehicles and you start to pull in, there's a motorcycle there.
Totally. And so right now, in our current code, we do not have standards for motorcycles, but with this update, creating standards for it. So they would be 4x8 feet for a motorcycle stall. And exactly, so they would have their own designated area types of stalls where motorcycles would park. And you can get a credit for proposing is up to 0.5% of your parking spaces can be motorcycle parking spaces. And so we do have additional standards for that now, which we have before.
But the motorcycles could still, if those were full,
then they have to go someplace else, of course.
Yeah, there's no requirement that we
have to use it. There's no requirement to actually use it, but they do have that available to them.
Yeah.
One other silly question.
Yeah, sure.
Existing development, existing shopping centers right now, is there any encouragement for them to adhere to the new? Are you going out and asking them to adhere to the new standards that you're...
So, they're not required to. And so that was a big thing we came up with. We met with the industry stakeholders. And so they wouldn't have to go redo their parking lot. But we have some incentives that we would encourage them to. And so they could take advantage of the credits, ideally. So say that right now they're required to have 500 parking spaces, maybe with the new standard it might be less, they can hopefully redevelop a portion of the shopping center, and then that area, only the area that they redevelop, would have to meet the new code requirements. they wanted to repave the other sections or add landscaping, obviously we would like that. But any new development would definitely be
like.
And we hope that a lowering system would encourage redevelopment and revitalization of some of the areas.
So I have a question which maybe is other than beyond this, but I'm just going to bring it up. So if, for example, the Raiders end up redeveloping Sam Boyd Stadium, it's going to fall to this board for some of the stuff.
Sure.
I've kind of been really keeping an eye on everything that's been happening. So I was looking at, there was the chart in there that was talking about the ratio for stadiums,
right.
And they were talking about, I think it's 1-4 now,
yeah.
Is on the chart.
Right.
So like they want to develop, for example, if they end up using it, they're
yeah.
talking about developing the dirt lot that's out there. So then does this kind of go against what the ordinance would be? Because now suddenly, like, they have what they have now, and then they have a dirt lot, so then they're going to overdevelop to accommodate the parking temporarily. But then once the new stadium is built, now we're going to have Sam Boyd and the existing parking and the new parking that's going to be there.
Right.
So kind of any guidance or thought process about...
It's a good question. I mean, if they redeveloped any portion of the existing Sam Boyd Stadium, we would expect them that they would meet the new code. They could always apply for waivers for things that they think applicable. So from that standpoint, we could hopefully get some additional landscaping, walkways, things like that. But that would be, yeah, that would be the extent of it.
Yeah, and that's what, like I said, as soon as all that started talking,
yeah.
They're talking about, oh, we're going to put in 3,000 more parking spots out there.
Are they really?
Yep. That's
so this is
that,
going to
like
be critical then for how...
And the stadium has to be expanded as well,
right.
If they want more seats out there.
Right, and so then all of a sudden, as everything's coming up, I'm like, we could sit with tiny little Whitney, we
yeah.
could suddenly
yeah,
become the
true.
Board.
Yeah.
But it could be very cool
in
a year or so, depending on, you know, what happens and if they need the practice facility and
yeah,
so forth.
That's a really good point.
So as soon as I saw this, that's how I saw it
yeah.
pertaining to Whitney.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, for future development, it's just a possibility.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it would be, you know, good because it would have additional design change, but the portion of it would develop it.
So would they only have to do the new portion?
So the old retro.
Yeah.
Right.
Hmm.
I mean, we would only require this planning terminology to consider the nexus. That's a portion of what they're doing. So the only thing we could require is the new development, but if they want to satisfy the fan base, they want to have an experience. They would create the dirt lot. But that would be their option.
So how do you think planning would look at waivers for them not to?
We would probably recommend denial.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we want them to comply.
Because it's going to be left to somebody else eventually, so you would want it up to standards, you know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, then you'll have people go, well, they did, how come I?
Oh, they do, of course, right. They got to address it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, just feedback, like I said, just
yeah,
kind of looking
forward.
The
right.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was thinking about the new state and how it would affect that, but I didn't even consider how it would.
Yeah, because they keep talking about, you know, the community going out early, and if that happens, that they'll have to retrofit, and so they just, everything that I have read has talked about that dirt lot being developed.
Nice.
So, like I said, I saw this, and I was like, ooh, I
yeah.
can
right.
Yeah, but then when you know, he uses the new stadium, what's going to happen to poor Sam Boyd?
Well,
feel bad for that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I feel bad left out there in the wilderness.
Exactly. Does the board have any other questions or comments?
No,
right?
I'm good.
Are you good?
No, oh, I'm good.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's very
good.
Next agenda item, comments by the general public. A period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board's jurisdiction will be held. No vote may be taken on a matter not listed on the posted agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium if applicable. Clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record, if any. Please state If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of a presentation, this will be done by the chair or the board by majority vote. Any public comment? Seeing that there is none, does the board have any comment?
Is this public comment?
Yes.
I like old business. Recently we've got another variety for the recent pedestrians being held up over by the road. And I think before some of you ladies came on the board, would remember, more regularly remember, NDOT came to their presentation for it. NDOT did a presentation that's got at least a year ago or more about chain link fences down the center to keep people from jaywalking across Boulder Highway, and especially the cannery right there. Complete automated LED lit. Where'd it go?
That came up recently.
When did we find out?
That came up recently, that NDOT said that they were starting that project and it was supposed to be completed sometime this year.
And they presented roundabouts at that time too, when they were talking about the LED lighting.
They're supposed to be putting in four new crosswalks. Either there, the LED lights, no lights.
Well, that's why they presented the one where the pedestrian comes up and pushes the button and then they walks him and pull it all the way across.
Right.
It's like they've got somewhere else, a few places in town, I guess it's working really well.
There's one other one, I think Pecos Five somewhere, and it does work really well. One that's over here on top of Canada State Flagship, that's what State Extension did. I live in Henderson, and there are several around in Henderson, and then when you see that flashing, you know we need to stop because somebody wants to get off the road.
Speaking of that, the one on Trump Canada, that's NDOT as well, correct? That goes to Canada. So, okay.
Who's going to
talk?
My library?
Yeah. I mean, that's.
Yeah, when I first started this job, it was cut up and down Trump Canada. It only started flashing when somebody wanted to go off.
But then
it started flashing all the time and then it goes off.
That might have been about the time we changed that and we left turn there. Because they changed that.
Coming out of Morris,
you can't turn left there anymore. I think that changed about the time we did that. Might have changed that.
Yeah,
they should. That definitely should be the first part. But just recently there was reports that NDOT was going to start this, going, I want to say, from Sahara, someplace up near Sahara, St. Louis area. Oh, okay, down to, I think it's Corn, down into the Gomez Anderson on the other side of the road. We'd love to put it in.
Yeah, the real estate is Sun Valley, right?
Oh, that's Sun Valley.
At the
Long
Canter.
Yeah.
I think it's
Ross.
Yeah,
it's not a
forgotten project. No,
it's not a forgotten project.
No,
they are. They're supposed to be working on it. New one that's down there by Silver Creek, so something that you got a good walking ticket from the whole across the street. So
that's
Silver Creek apartments down by Boulder.
On the way to
Silver
Russell.
So at that intersection, they either have to walk a long way down to Russell or they have to walk a long way back up here to, I think. Nevada, maybe? I don't know. I can drive it out. Look, it's a long way for somebody to have to walk across to go back over there.
I think that's why NDOT was proposing to change the fence 6 or 8 foot tall down the center to keep you forcing you to go walk where it's safe.
Yeah, she got it.
Rather walk a little longer and be alive than get run over. And most of the people who get run over, the rest of the building, you can't even see. I come through the cannery crosswalk through all kinds of times. Even in daytime, sometimes you can't see somebody crossing the very dark building. It blends in with the landscaping there in the center, and it's so wide, you know, you really got to have a good field of vision to see anything.
Well, the other thing is that I've noticed, you know, on this side of town, this area of town, is that, you know, I'll be trying to make a left turn for the dead long cloud and dropping down. Alright? You know, so you have to wait for traffic to move out of your way anyway to get there. The light is already, the walk signal has already stopped. You know, here and I am trying to, you know, zoom in and out of traffic and turn left, and somebody comes running across or riding a bicycle across. So
well,
a lot of people are not paying attention to the
Boulder Highway is so wide. crosswalk signal to get from one side to the median.
Right.
And then you're really supposed to wait on the next signal. And they don't do that. That's where they get in trouble, is when they make that second crossing and they don't have the walk signal.
Okay.
I agree about the dark closing. I won't drive over the highway at night. Just, there's been too many close darting and so forth, and I won't do it if I don't have to.
What happened with the one with the policeman? Yeah, the two-foot officer hit one of the...
I never heard any more about it.
Yeah, police officer hit pedestrian, and 10 minutes later, the same intersection.
Somebody else.
The only real safe option would be a pedestrian bridge, like they have a lot of places in town.
I don't think they use it, though, because further on Boulder, almost to, what is that, Charles? There's a bridge that's there. People don't use it. People dart in between with strollers and everything else. I've been that way.
That's the whole problem. People don't use it. They won't use it.
Right.
They'll take the risk.
So if that's the case, then PennDOT really can't do anything about
suggestion.
The only other option is... And I thought about this, at one point it was the Boulder Highway, and now it's all developed out, and whether or not to start advocating for lower speed limits.
Well, there was an issue down as it passed Russell, I believe it was up to 50, and they brought that down about a year or so ago. So now it's 45. So they go down to 40, and they still going to go 50.
I know they are, but...
Yeah, junction 55 heading south when you get past, about past Duck Creek in that area.
Yeah.
And drop it down, I think, around Gibson or somewhere in the continent.
And then it picks back up after you pass Lincoln.
Exactly.
Yeah. And 45 or not, people do it 55 to 60, so doesn't that.
Right.
That's part of the problem in itself.
I still don't know what the speed limit is on the 95. So I really appreciate that.
It's called, don't get run over.
Unless noted otherwise.
Is that it? But
I think.
Are you going 65?
Well, you're going 65 and you're an 80.
Yep. I'm
always
the station.
People always push the envelope regardless. Whether the pedestrian or trying to do it.
At least you don't have to live in Utah. Utah is keeping it speed.
That's right.
Of course, it's pushing the envelope at 60.
65,
pushed
the
envelope
at
80, so now they're going
90
and
100.
Yep.
Wow. Board have any other comments?
Nope.
Okay. With that, the next meeting date is April 27th, 2017. We are adjourned. Okay. Thank you.